Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen, amen. I think they deserve another hand. Hey, awesome. Praise God. Amen. Just thank God for even the, I don't know if you call them young adults or just the young'uns or whatever. You know. The young'uns did good this morning. Amen. Well, it's good to be here this morning, and I'm going to be sharing with you this morning about some discipline, good stuff. Are you in it to win it? That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Are you in it to win it? Okay. And if you will, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Before we get started, Father, we just thank you so much for this day, Lord. God, we even thank you for the rain that's falling, Lord. And God, we are just so appreciative of your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, this morning for your presence being here, Father. And Lord, we are not here to entertain, but Lord, we are here to just glorify you, Father. God, to make your name great among your people, Lord. And God, we just thank you, Lord God, for everything that you're doing. And so, Father, we pray that you'll give us eyes to see, ears to hear, Father. So, Lord, we give you the praise and the glory for what you're going to do today, Lord. And we thank you right now, Lord Jesus, that your word would be full of the anointing and power, Lord. Not my words, but your words, Father. And, Lord, we thank you right now for the anointing, Lord God, that you have placed upon our lives, Lord. And, God, we pray this morning, Father. God, your will be done. Your will be done, Father. Lord, we know that your kingdom is here, but let your will be done today, Father. And God, we'll give you the praise and glory because you deserve it all, Father. Lord, we take nothing upon ourselves, Father. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, for just being a part of what you're doing in this hour. So, Father, we thank you right now as we enter into your word. Father, we just pray that you will lead and guide us. Lord, we pray, God, that you will just speak through us today. And God, we'll give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Okay, I'll give you a few minutes to get there, okay? But I'll begin reading at verse 24, chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'll begin reading at verse 24. Make sure I do that sometime. Why? She said, you didn't tell us what chapter you was in. You know, so I need to take my time and make sure I give you the right chapter, okay? All right. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one received the prize? So that's not, when we look at that one, how many know we can say the body of Christ, we're going to all receive the prize, okay? Run in such a way that you may win. Now, I want to just talk to you just a little bit about this word win, because what that word really means is to comprehend mentally, to win. So that let us know, where is the battle at? Where are you going to win at? The mind. So Proverbs teaches us, he said, as a man thinketh, so is he. So is our thinking important? Say very important. Okay, and that word win also means to take, to lay hold of. To take, to lay hold of. To comprehend mentally, to take, to lay hold of. Okay? Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control. In all things. Not just some things. Just when we're in church. When I'm up singing, yeah, I use self-control. Yeah. Okay? But notice it said, in what? Come on. Thank you. Okay, all things. So, everyone who competes in the games exercise what? Self-control in all things. Do you know that an athlete has to train X amount of hours to perfect his gift or his talent? He just don't get up in the morning and say, well, I'm a NBA basketball player, and then go out there and start playing. How many know it won't work that way? Right? Think of what was Brother Richard Hodge at. He's, oh, you're on this side. Okay. Is that right? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Number one, if you don't exercise properly, how many know you can easily get hurt? Okay. So Paul is saying that we have to do what? Exercise self-control in all things. Okay. They do this to receive a what? A perishable what? Or crown, okay? So there is something that they are aimed at, okay? So the Bible tells us to look to who? Looking at Jesus, who is the author and the finish of our faith. So our aim is who? Jesus. His aim in us is do what? To conform us to his image, okay? So what we behold, we what? We become, okay? So when we begin to look at this, okay, I'm going to move on here, okay? It says, but we, an imperishable, in other words, what we're aiming for is not perishable. It's not corrupt. It's not going to fade away. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. Who is our aim? Jesus. I box in such a way, not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. And when you think about games, how many know games have rules and regulations? You have to play within the guidelines of the rule, okay? You know, I played sports all my life, you know, from 7 to on up to I was in my 20s. But there was something that I had to learn about sports, and how many know that all sports don't have the same rules, okay? So it's important that you learn the rules, you know, that the sport that you're playing in. Because, you know, if you don't know the rules, you can easily make a mistake and cause the team to lose. I was watching the clip on the NBA finals, and how many know Steph Curry? Most people do. And you would say he's a high intelligent basketball player. But because he wasn't informed about a rule that was in the NBA, he almost caused them to lose the game. You say, well, what does that have to do with it? Because, you know, they got this thing in the NBA now that if you go back and they review a play, you know, and that play, and they say, well, the play stands as it is. Okay, so they lose their timeout. So he got trapped, and guess what he did? And what happened? When you do that, the other team, it's a technical foul. The other team get a free throw, brought the game within one. See, when pressure get on, we need to know the rules so we don't time out in it. Amen? Okay? But what he did was he said, it was my fault because I didn't realize we didn't have a timeout. Now, the coach steps up. He says, well, it's my fault because I didn't inform him that we didn't have a timeout. So what are you saying here? Paul is talking about an athlete here, and what he's saying is that we're in it to win it. But there are some things that we must do in order to win this battle. And it's not so much that we have to do something, is that we have to realize and come to the understanding that we've already won. But how many know we feel the effects of what's going on, even though we're fighting from a position of victory? Because Jesus won it all, and he gave it to his church. But how many know we're in a corrupt world that we got to begin to discipline or to exercise the truth of God's word? So it's important that we renew our minds to the word of God so we will know. And that's what Paul was really saying when he said to renew the mind. If you go back and read Romans 12, verse 2, it says, I beseech you, brother. You know, he started out talking about, I beg you, brethren. But then he goes on to that second verse. He said, be not conformed to this world. Okay? But be ye transformed by the renewing. That renewing is a continuing renewing. Okay? And he said that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what are we talking about here? All right, if I'm going to win, my mindset has to be right. See, and it's all about the mindset. If you think you're a failure, guess what you're going to be? A failure. If you think you're victorious, guess what you're going to be? Victorious. If you think you're not valuable, guess what? You're going to act like you're not valuable. But I got some good news for you this morning. You are valuable. The Bible said you're more valuable than the sparrows that fly in the sky. Amen? You are worth it. Okay? So getting back to Paul here, so what he's saying is that we're all in a race here. And how many know that when you're in a race, there are different obstacles that you run up on? And that's why Paul, the word of God is recorded in Hebrew. He says, lay aside every what? Weight and sin that so easily beset you. See, it's the laying aside. Some things are not really sin, but they can be a hindrance. See? And you say, well, here we go. He gonna tell me to get rid of this, get rid of that. I ain't gonna tell you to get rid of nothing. It's on you. It's on you. You gotta know what's hindering your walk with God. You gotta know what to lay aside. We know sin is no problem because Jesus took care of the sin problem. But now the problem is, what am I willing to give up of myself that I might receive this abundant life? Amen. See, it don't come just because I wish it or some kind of magical thing take place that all of a sudden I'm in it and I got it. It don't work that way. It is a process. Amen. And the process is that I have to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets John. Or that entangles me, that causes me not to run freely. See, this is not a sprint, this is a marathon. There is a difference. Because a sprint, you just burn it out and you're done with it. But a marathon, it's a journey. You know, I remember running cross country in high school. And, you know, that's a thing that's called the second wind. You know, and you got to keep going, keep going. And all of a sudden that adrenaline kicks in and your second wind coming. It's almost like now I'm in the groove and I'm just going. I'm looking at the trees and I'm looking at things and I'm just enjoying the journey. Why? Because now I'm in that second wind. See, and that's the way the Spirit of God is with us. You know, we got to just keep pressing on in, keep pressing on in, keep pressing on in, keep pressing on in. And all of a sudden, the adrenaline of the Holy Spirit kicks in. And sometimes you feel yourself like you're just floating on water. Why? Because now it ain't you. It's the Spirit of God leading and guiding you. Amen? So Paul is saying here, he said, we got to run this race, okay? And notice what he said, that to win means to comprehend mentally. All right? Let's look at Ephesians 3 and 14. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints that what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Notice what Paul said. He gave us three things here. So that you will be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the height and the depth. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. So that's the way we begin to our mind. We're going from one dimension to another. I mean, you know, we don't need to stay one dimension in God. There are more dimensions in Him. And we just keep moving in those dimensions, but mentally, it's the mind that we continue to move forward in. See, and as we begin to renew our minds, we begin to be able to attest and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you know what the will of God is? Many a times, we only stop at the will of God because of our talents, our giftings, what I'm doing for God. We think, well, that's the will of God. But do you realize this is the will of God? This is the perfect will of God. I'm telling you, this is a love letter and it's in the will. The will of God is what he left for his church. And I'm going to know that a will is not of importance or is not effective as long as a person lives. It's only effective when the person dies. I'm not asking you to die. You mean I gotta die to get it? He died for you so you could get it, okay? But you gotta surrender your will to take on his, okay? So Paul is telling us again, let's go through this again. I read the entire scripture, but let's look at verse 25. Everyone who competes in the game exercises self-control in all things. You know, and sometimes this is a problem with the church because we feel like, well, I can't control this. Would that be true? You can't control him. Okay? We can't control him, but I mean, you know, self-control is a spirit, a fruit. Is that not right? Yes. Am I in the right place here? Okay, just checking, okay? So if it's a spirit, guess what? I can control. It's called self-control. Everything come to your mind, you don't have to say. Because some people, well, I just got to get it out. I just got to get it out. I can't help myself. Yes, you can. Easy here, big fella. Yes, you can. And guess what? Marriage is the best way to practice this. Well, some things you just don't need to say, fellas. Just say yes, dear. And let's move on. Right? Self-control. Well, they said this on my job, but I just had to give them a piece of my mind, man. You know, I'm tired of them running over me. Self-control. See. So what you're telling me. That they're controlling you. Well, you said you couldn't help it because they did this to you. So you're telling me they controlled you. See, we got to understand something, church. God has empowered us that sometimes we don't need to say nothing, but just let the songs, just let him fight for you. Now, there is a time, hold on, there is a time that you need to say something, but you need to say it in the right way. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. Will that work for you? Yes, it will. See, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is of grace, that which edifies. Will that work for you? Yes. See, but guess what? We got to exercise the truth of God's word in situations that's out of our control. What do you mean by that? There is a time to speak, and there is a time to refrain from speaking. There is a time to laugh, and there is a time to cry. There is a time to rejoice, and there is a time of sorrow. These things are going to happen. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to begin to control your thinking in a way to where you just don't lose it. Now, I got news for you. I've lost it sometimes. Oh, yeah. I've lost it sometimes. And guess what? Now I can tell you, don't do it. Because it didn't work well for me. Right? So, but now I got to exercise. I got to practice. Yes, dear. What would you like for me to do, dear? Yes, dear. You go before me. Yes, you go before me. See, we begin to, you know, the Bible said, do what? Prefer others before yourself. See, all this is practice. You got to practice. I mean, you know, this don't just come common. This is supernatural stuff. See, and you've been empowered to carry this out. See, but when you say, well, I can't control myself, see, then that's going to have to be some discipline take place. Because a lot of people think, well, hey, I'm born again. This thing, come on, let's get it to work in here. You're born again of the incorruptible seed, but guess what you got to do? Practice. Discipline yourself. And I know we don't want to hear this because you know what? I want to do my own thing. But I got news for you. I think I read in the Word of God where you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. The blood of Jesus has paid for you. He's captured you. He's possessed you. You are his. And he is yours. See? And that's the way we got to live out this life that we have in Christ. See, we got to discipline ourselves. Why? Because we're in a race. Okay? And the race, guess what? We're all in it together. But how many know that when you work out with a friend that's going in the same direction you are, how many know it makes it a little easier? When you got that one coming alongside of you telling, come on, man, just one more push, just one more. Come on, you got it. Just one more. Oh, no, I can't do it. Yeah, you can. Come on. Come on, you got it. Then he'll, boom, that is. Glory to God. You know, the flexing and doing all this stuff. It ain't all about that, but you know what I'm saying. How many know that we begin to flex in the Spirit of God? Amen. We done worked out. We done been praying. Oh, that's a bad word in the church, isn't it? Praying. No, huh? You name it and claim it and grab it and get it and all this stuff. The process. Do you not know that Paul gave us the armor of God? And then he said, above all, praying. Praying in the spirit, praying in the understanding. You got to pray. That's part of the discipline. You know why? Because the flesh don't want to pray. This old fella don't want to pray. But you know what? I beat him up and I tell him, you're going to pray. I jack him up. Come on, you going to pray. And guess what? He say, yes, sir. I'm going to pray. Why? Because I'm like Paul. I'm beating him up. Get up. Let's pray. Now, don't beat yourself. Don't hit yourself now. Come on. I got to watch what I say here. But take authority and let him know you don't govern me. I remember I told God, I said, God, I'm going to get up early in the morning. You know, I read that scripture where Jesus got up before daybreak and he go off and pray. I said, that's what I'm going to start doing. Oh, Lord have mercy. I felt like weights was on me. I was trying to get on. I got to get up. No, just go on and lay here. Take you one more minute. Just two more minutes. Next thing you know, I'm knocked out, snoring, and I'm looking at, oh, Lord Jesus, I don't miss my prayer time. Now, God didn't condemn me, but guess what? It was me putting pressure on John. See, it was me putting pressure on me. I just need to practice, God. You said pray. I can lay in my bed and pray. Oh. I can lay in my bed and pray. You know, just go off in the spirit, wake Sister Faye up and everything. Just go off. What you doing over there? Praying. Nah, we use wisdom. How many know it ain't how loud you do it? It's what's going on in here. See, and that's what we got to get to. We got to start practicing. You can pray, you know. I remember God telling me, man, don't be praying in your car. Why not? I can pray in my car. I got 2 hours. I keep them open, watch where I'm going. He said, watch and pray. Come on. Don't close your eyes. Keep on praying, but keep them eyes open. Amen. So Paul is saying everyone who competes in the games exercise self-control in all things. Not just when we're at church, but in all things. Even when you're in that grocery line. Even when you're at Walmart. My kids call it Wally World. Even when you're at Wally World. Wherever you're at, practice self-control. See, what does practice do? That's what they tell us. Practice makes what? But I'm going to tell you what practice really do. It makes it easier. See, what you do repetitionally over and over again, what you keep doing, it becomes a part of you. See, some people think, well, you know, I can't keep saying that same scripture. Why not? Why can't you keep saying it? Until it become a part of you. And then when it become a part of you, it's just like breathing. See, you know, you go to the gym, sometimes you don't feel like going to the gym. You don't feel like working out, but you know that your health depends upon you working out. Guess what? You're motivated to go to the gym. Amen. Why? Because you're getting something out of it, right? But guess what? You're going to get something out of exercising spiritually. Why? Because it's going to empower. You're already empowered, but it's going to make you so aware of what's on the inside of you to where you're going to be ready to explode and flex yourself. You know, man, devil, ain't no need you coming here with that today. Guess what? I've been exercising in the Word of God, and I know what the Word say, and I'm standing in alignment with God. And guess what? I'm gonna submit to God. What he says, and I'm going to resist you, and you got to get away from here. Do you not know that flee does not mean that he tiptoes away? It means that he runs in terror. Why? Because of what he has seen on the inside of you. He see you submitting to God. I know I can't get him on that old trick no more. I got to try something different. But right now, I got to go away and come back again. Why? Because when you submit to God, what you're saying is, I come under the authority of what God is saying. Amen? So we got to exercise self-control in all things. Now, in doing that, You're going to have to contend with this flesh. You know, because he's John. He want to have his way. I want to be bragged on. I want to be the center of all the attention. No, not you. Oh, yeah, my flesh act like that sometimes. And you know what I have to tell him? No, that ain't God's way. I'm humbling myself. Amen? It ain't all about me. It's about him. See, and I've learned that through the years of going through trials and testing. Why? Because sometimes we think, well, you know, just speak the name of Jesus. Yeah, we can speak the name of Jesus, but guess what? You're going to feel this. Oh, yeah, you're going to feel it. You know why? Because when you feel it, you're more to have compassion on somebody else that's going through the same identical thing. Say practice. Self-control in all things, that they may receive the imperishable crown, okay? That they do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run in such a way as not beating or not without aim. Excuse me, not without aim. See, it's good to run, but don't be like the guy in the Old Testament. I can't record his name, but you know, they were sending the prophets out. They was running, giving messages. So this other guy come up, he said, I want to run too. They said, well, go on and run. He took off running. Got to the prophet. What's the message? Message? I'm just running. No. Have an aim. Have a goal. You know, have something you're aimed at. We know Jesus is our aim. My aim is I want to walk in love. And guess what's going to happen? I'm going to run into all people that's not lovable. Lord, I just want to love people. Okay. The Bible said, what is it if you love those who love you? I mean, what's up with that? It's okay. Oh, I scratch your back, you scratch my back. Right? I bless you, you bless me. Hey, we got it going on. I'm happy. Yes. But when that one tell you, you ain't no good for nothing. When somebody tell you, oh, if you was a Christian, you was this, you do this, you know, and get your feelings all hurt. Can you love then? See, love is not a feeling. Love is a person. God is love. He don't have love. He is love. And guess what? He said, this is how the world would know that you are my disciples, is the love that you have for one another. And sometimes it's hard to get along with one another. I'm just going to be honest with you. It ain't always easy to get along with me. You, Pastor John? See, you're just looking at this. But in my mind, I'm wondering, why are they acting like that? They know better than that. I need to. Oh, no, don't do that. You be wanting to go off sometime. Hell, now, son, you said you wanted to walk in love. Yes, I did, Lord. So grace me, God, for this pain. Because sometimes you feel like, where are my brothers? Where are they at? It's not that they're not there. You're being tested. You're being tried. Have you ever went through something and you knew God was setting you up? You knew he was setting you up. Now, me and this guy ain't never got along, God, and you're going to send me right where he at. He gonna, how you doing, sir? I don't forget easy. I remember when you did such so-and-so. Forgive him, John. Oh, forgive. That's part of love. Letting go of the offense. Amen. And choosing, practicing, walking in love. Okay? Let me move on. I'm taking a little too long on that, right? Okay. Let's see. Okay. So the word compete means to contend for victory. See, what is Paul saying? They that compete in a race exercise self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. Therefore, run in such a way as not without aim. Our aim is to be what? Christ-like. That's God's purpose. For us to be conformed, the aim that he's taken us through all these difficult times is to transform us into his likeness. And when you understand why you're going through stuff, I mean, you know, it does help a little bit. It do me. When I understand why this person is acting the way they, why they doing me the way, you know, I'm not going to center them out, but what I'm saying, when I'm looking at them, I'm saying, okay, God, what's in me that I can't look beyond what they're doing and love them in spite of? See, now I'm maturing. Why? Because it ain't about me anymore. It ain't, I better not do that. It ain't about me having my way all the time in my marriage. Why is it the Word of God tells us to prefer others before ourselves, but I can be married to Sister Faye and not even think about preferring her before me? It works even in my marriage. See, but we want it to work out. We can be nice to, oh, Lord Jesus. We can be nice. So nice, oh, so loving. But then when it come home, don't bother me. Give me a break. Having a tantrum tantrum just because she asked you to take out the trash. Okay, Lord, is there a scripture that say I need to do this? Yes. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. You want to die, man? Stay in your marriage and tough it out. You'll die. One way or the other, you're going to die. Just hang on in there. Well, is she that bad? No, she ain't that bad. I'm that bad. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me that has to humble myself. Why? Because Jesus, he sacrificed. See, and do you realize to exercise, you sacrifice. But is it always going to be the man's way? No, it ain't going to always be that way. I know we think, well, we just beat up on the man. They have to do everything. But the Bible also tells the wife what to do. Submit to your own husband. Now, I'm going to give you a nugget, woman, ladies, sisters. You want to get his heart? Respect. Show him some respect. See, you got to exercise some respect. Well, you know, and I know you've always had your way, you know, but you're a grown woman now. We got a man, woman up, man up. We got to do this God's way. We got to do it God's way. See, it's not John's way. It's not Faye's way. It's God's way. That's the way it is at my house. It's God's way. Is it always easy? No. Is that right, Sister Faye? Is it always easy? You plead the fifth. See? Now. Hey, there it is right there. You see it? There it is. Now I'm hot. What are you talking about? In front of this whole church, and you plead the fifth. Wait till I get you home. John, you're fleshing out. Brother, you're fleshing out. It's so good that you're free enough to say, hey, I know that if I missed it, honey, I'll just, okay, let's get it right. Plead the fifth. Let me write that down. Let me take a note on that when we get, no, no. So it means to contend for victory. So I'm contending for victory, you know. And trust me, we don't always agree. But I'm learning how to, some people say disagree to agree. I don't know how that's said with me. You know, that's okay. But listen to this. If we disagree, that's okay. But let's go and see what God say. Let's back up. Let's see, okay, what is God saying how we should handle this? Okay? I mean, you know, God is the right judge, right? He's just and he's, okay, let me move on. My time is slipping away, okay? Y'all laughing too much at me, okay? Okay, y'all having a good time, aren't you? Okay. Yeah, keep on exposing yourself. That's okay. God allows, I mean, you know, God is changing us. Amen? It's okay. We ain't gonna always get it right. Do I want to get it right? Yes, I do, but I don't always get it right. But I got to contend for victory in the public games and then, in general, come to a means. It means to come to a means to fight. And guess what? We're not to fight with flesh and blood. See? We're not to fight with flesh and blood. How many know? Sister Faye is not my enemy. Your wife is not your enemy. And I'm not her enemy. But we fight the good fight of faith. Okay? And we'll get to that, okay? Let me move on here, okay? To wrestle, okay? This is what compete means, to wrestle the test of faith. The task of faith in preserving, even when we go through temptation, when we face oppositions, we got to fight, amen? But we're not fighting the individual, but what we're fighting is the spirit that's influencing. See, and we fight the fight of faith, okay? It all comes to mean, sometimes that we have to fight the pain. You know, when you got kids, grandkids, friends that are going through things or engaging in things that you know that is not going to turn out for their good, how many know you feel that pain? You know, it's nothing like a pain when you know a person is headed in the wrong direction and you trying to share with them and love on them and tell them, no, don't go that way. Please don't go that way. This is what can happen to you. Don't go that way. But they insist on going that way. How many know that's a pain? That sometimes, you know, sometimes the pain is an embarrassment. Man, you're my son. You're my daughter. You're my granddaughter. You're my friend, you know, and it's not about, sometimes I make it about me, but I got to get to the place that I don't make it about me, but I fight for them on my knees. And I begin to believe God that he's going to turn this thing around. We begin to cry out to the prodigals and call them back in. But as long as we're telling them, well, you're no good. Look what you did. You know, how many know that's the devil's bread that he's wanting to eat? But if we'll begin to speak positive words, oh, you're better than this. There's potential in you. There's greatness in you. See, when we start speaking that way, I mean, you know, we're speaking words of faith. We don't see it happen, but we believe what God's words say. Okay? And the same way it is when we're going through temptations and trials and oppositions. You know, we gotta win. We gotta contend by faith. The Bible said, contend for the faith. In other words, we gotta fight for it. The Bible said, the kingdom of God suffereth violently, but the violent take it by force. Who is that gonna rise up and begin to fight for the marriage? Who's gonna rise up and begin to fight for your children? Who's gonna rise up and begin to fight, amen, for the school systems, for our nation, for the government, all the things that are going wrong? Yeah, we see how bad it is, but guess what? We can fight for it. Yes. Down on our knees. If my knee wasn't sore, I'd get down on them, but I can't get down and get up that quick anymore, Sister Martha. So I just had to say, you know, you got to go down on your knees. I believe that was a song sung this morning, that when I fight where? On my knees. Now, do you always have to kneel? No, you don't. You can lay on the bed, just stand up, walk, whatever you need to do, but be praying. Amen? Covering our children when they go to school. Amen. Why? Because there's a lot of stuff going on undercover that we're not aware of. If you're not being exposed to it, you would think everything is hunky-dory and they're going to school to get a good education. But they got stuff going on now that's undercover that some of the parents don't even know what's going on. But here we are as a church. We got to fight and contend. Amen. It might not be my child, but guess what? I can fight and contend for your children. Say, it don't always have to be well, my four and no more. Come on, we got to get out of that mindset. Amen? When your child goes through something, guess what? It affects me. Why? Because we're brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we got to contend. We got to fight for our children. Amen? I tell you, they're growing up in a society now that they need God more than ever before. Why? Because this old corrupt system, amen, just like we just said, it's corrupt. But there is a light within the midst of it. There is a light. And we are that light. We are the one can make a difference. You say, well, how do you know how to pray? Amen. Just start praying for the children. Amen. If you see, look around and see, well, you know, well, who got children in here? I'm going to be praying for your children. I'm going to be praying for your child. I'm going to be praying for the husband. I'm going to be praying for that wife. I'm going to be praying for the marriages. Why? Because that's what he's after. Amen? That's what he's after. Let me move on a little quick here because my time is getting away. I done kind of laughed and had fun. Now I'm trying to work hard, right? But just this. Go with me to 1 Timothy, okay? It means to fight, to contend for the victory. Even in the midst of temptations, the oppositions, the pain that come along with it, we wrestle. We wrestle with this. Why? Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, the spiritual wickedness, all this stuff that's going on. I mean, you know, we're engaged in a fight. And we have to realize it is a good fight. 1 Timothy 6 and 12, fight the good fight of faith. See, somebody, you know, some people say, well, a good fight is the one you win. But do you realize the good fight of faith is the ones that don't give up? Amen. They locked in. They don't give up. I see what's going on, and I'm not going to give up, so you might well as well let them go. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. Quitting is not on my clock. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called. And you make the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. This is where we win at. We begin to declare the truth. The word confession there means to say the same. Come in agreement with what God is saying. God said my seed would be blessed. I'm declaring my seed is blessed. Amen? You say, well, who are you to declare something? Well, the Bible told me to. See, what's wrong a lot of times with the church, we're not saying anything. We're tolerating it and hoping it will get better. But I got news for you. It's not going to get any better. We're going to have to stand up and begin to confess what God's word says. This is why it's so important that we have a good, healthy diet of the word of God. So that when we speak the word, we're just not throwing words out there. God, you said. I'm saying the same thing. How many know he's the apostle and high priest of my confession? And when I'm in alignment with him, guess what? He said, when two of you can agree on earth as touching what? Anything, I'll do it. Number one, I'm going to be in alignment with him. Number two, I'm going to say what he's saying. But as long as I'm out here trying to say my own things and then put God on it, that ain't going to work. I'm going to be so frustrated and aggravated and irritated. Why? Because God ain't moving. But when we begin to align ourselves with the word of God and with what he's saying, watch God start moving. You say, well, is it going to happen? Yes, it's going to happen. Well, when is it going to happen? Just keep the faith. See, sometimes God is not withholding it from you. He's holding it for you. See, you got to get in the right position. See, God ain't out just throwing, just, oh, yeah, you ask for a blessing? Sure, here you go, here you go. No, what God is saying is you got to grow up and mature so you can handle what I'm about to give you. But if you can't handle it, I got to hold it till you get to a place, to a time that you're able to handle this without getting puffed up, without getting going around hollering, oh, Lord, let's start us with this. Well, we got to start this hotline. You know, God just did. No, I mean, you know, it's not about that. It's about God manifesting himself to you in a way that when he bring his word to pass, is to build confidence in you. That I would do what I say. See, 1 John said, this is a confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And when God hears us, guess what? Something's going to happen. Amen. Amen? So we're fighting a good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, which we were called. And you make the good confession. Say the same thing that God is saying about you. What have God said about you? I don't know. Well, get in the word. Get in the word and found out what God has said about you. Because God has said some interesting things about us. He said some good stuff about us. Well, you don't know what I did. The Bible tells me that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are made new. Do you hear me? Because what's happening is that the enemy is trying his best. You know, I started to preach a message, and I got to close. I started to preach a message when truth invades the lie. I got to feed on that a little bit, Pastor. I got to work on that a little bit. When truth invades the lie. Because what we're getting in this world ain't nothing but a bunch of lies from the enemy. And how do you dismantle a lie with the truth? God said, I'm his. God says, I'm justified. That means I'm righteous. It's not about my works or what I do. God has said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God has said, I've given you grace, John, for this race. God has said, I'm with you and not against you. God has said, you're more than a conqueror. God have said, you're above and not beneath. God have said great things about us. But if we fail to get in the word of God, we accept the lie of the enemy. Amen? I'm going to stop right there because I keep chewing on. I better bring this on in, John. But we got to be like Paul. We got to press in. I don't know what you're going through, but I'm telling you, God has got the answer for your breakthrough. He's got the answer. Sometimes we use breakthrough lightly. Well, you know, that's when I get an emotional fit and I go to shouting. Breakthrough is when I'm changed and this don't affect me no more. That's my breakthrough. That I can look at it and the scar might still be there, but the pain is gone. Amen? And that's what God wants to free us up. I trust that I said something to help you today. Okay? But I'm serious about it. I know we laughed and had a good, but I'm serious about this. You know why? Because I'm learning some stuff. And it's working for me. Yes, dear. It's working for me. Woo! Lord, have mercy. It is working for me. Amen? God is at work, amen. And when we realize it's all about Him, I'm telling you, it takes the pressure away. I don't have to perform to get it. All I do is believe what God's word says and begin to do what? Practice. Look at your neighbor and say, we're gonna practice this. You gotta practice it. Practice. Look at if you ain't got nobody to talk to, look in the mirror and tell yourself, we practicing this. Amen. Because see, the body is not the body. It has its, we have senses, feelings, and all these things, the five senses of the body. But guess what? They are not to control you. The Holy Spirit is the one that needs to control. Amen? And when we begin to learn that and do that, that doesn't mean that this old body is going to want to say, no! He's going to scream out, no! Why? Because he want to have his way. But you say, no, it ain't your way. It's your way. Right? It's Yahweh. Not my way, but Yahweh. It's God's way. Amen? Stand to your feet. Amen? Do you have anything? Pastor? Okay. Father, we just thank you today. And Lord, we thank you for your people, Lord. And God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the freedom, Lord God, to declare the truth, Lord. And God, we just pray over this congregation today, Lord. God, if there's anyone here today that's not saved and you would like to be saved, I don't want to overlook you or take you lightly. Is there anybody here today to say, I'm not saved, but I want to be saved? If there's anybody, okay, let's pray on. Father, we just pray right now, Lord, that you have empowered us with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we realize, God, that yes, we live in this flesh, Lord, but we're not to be controlled by it. And Father, we pray today, Lord, that what I've said, God, that you will seal it, and God, that you will cause it to bring forth the fruit that you have designed for it to. And God, we thank you for everyone that's under the sound of my voice. I pray your blessings over them. I pray your strength over them. And I pray, God, that you will manifest yourself to them in ways that they never known. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Great job, Pastor John.
Thank you, sir.
I didn't know. Yeah, go ahead. I didn't know about pleading the fifth either, but I might use that sometime.
This brand to write it down.
today you heard about we need to practice, and last week we heard from Brother Mike about we need to invest. I know of no other place to be able to invest and practice than our children.
That's right.
They need us. They really do. So I'd like for you to really think about it and learn to invest in our VBS kids. And just before you leave, just go over there and just get that paper and just sign up to help. You will absolutely love it. They'll reach for your heart as you reach for theirs. They really will. So God bless you, and great job again. And thank you so much for being here. But sign up to help for VBS. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.